just lift up before you your son, our friend, our brother Derek, and also Nathan as well. They have spent weeks, literally weeks, thinking about these things, and so now they're ready to share with us what you have put on their hearts. And Father, just give us attentive ears and attentive hearts to listen to the way that you've impressed upon them how to live out their faith. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. My name is Derek Foggy. I've been attending this church for around 16 years. So spent part of my childhood here, and then continued coming here with now my wife and our two children. We have a 3-year-old named Clementine and a 8-week-year-old named Lincoln. And it's been real exciting just to continue to grow and just be in this church. What I do for a living is I am a teacher. So standing in front of people, talking, is something that I do on a daily basis for roughly like 6 hours. So this was something that, though in front of the congregation, seems a little bit different, is something slightly at home. I'm used to having to put things together, have a beginning, a middle, and end, make sure that it's all wrapping up nicely. And so it wasn't something that's really nervous to me, and I'm excited to put together what God has just to share. I've been teaching for 4 years. I teach at Mountain View School. It's in the Washington Elementary School District. We have high Hispanic population, lower socioeconomic status, and it's something that I really enjoy going to work and seeing the different type of children that I get to work with each day. Some of them in households that are just difficult, and some of them with really loving and caring families. So you just see everything in front of you. And when they come to school, sometimes we have to make sure that this is the one safe place that they have. And the one thing that we have is within a school system, you have to set up something in place for children's behavior. Now, at our school, we have adopted something called PBIS. PBIS stands for Positive Behavior Intervention and Supports. And what it is, it's just a framework for setting up a system where you are recognizing students' positive behavior on a daily basis. We want to recognize students' positive behaviors, so those are the behaviors that we continue to see. And then we put in place interventions for negative behaviors so that we can show them and reteach them this is how you should act in order to correctly get along with those around you. And so within PBIS, we are the Mountain View Hawks. And so we have an acronym, just like Pastor Josh has been talking about, Men Lift. Well, at Mountain View, Hawks Rise. RISE stands for 4 things, and we utter these things every day to our students. Hawks need to show respect, they need to show integrity, they need to have safety, and they should have effort. So those 4 things are quick to remind our children how they need to act when they're around others. They need to think about this both internally, and they need to think about this externally as they communicate and as they work with other children, because they have to continue to have these principles as they get older and as they move into working jobs and just interacting with the community as they leave the schools. And so these are things we utter every day. Whether you're in a kindergarten classroom or you are in one of our 8th grade classrooms, there is a common language of making sure that our children are having respect, integrity, safety, and effort in everything that they do. And so, as Christians, I think we have this same common language that should be applied to our actions as we are in the community. As we leave this church congregation and we move into the community around us, we need to have this common language, this common example of how we act that the community can see. And that should be evident in the things that we do. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at that. And so God has called us to be an example to others through our actions. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at what this looks like and how we can implement it on a daily basis in our lives. This morning, we're going to open up to 1 Timothy 4:12, and we're going to read that passage. So if you could open up with me to 1 Timothy 4:12. In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, and I will be reading from the ESV this morning. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Within this verse, we see five actions, five things about our behavior that we can shape in order to guide how we are interacting with others. This verse talks about speech, talks about our conduct, our love, our faith, and our purity. This morning, we're going to take a look at three specific things that I think are important of those. We're not going to take a look at all five. So first, we are going to talk about conduct. I would like to talk about how we just interact and how we shape ourselves. So we're going to move into Galatians to see this. If you could open up Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 with me, please. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, here it is written, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. Here Paul is giving us a negative example of his conduct. He is talking about how he formally acted. Paul previously persecuted Christians and acted negatively towards them. That conduct was something that lived with those around him, and they very much knew who he was. His conduct had an impact on the community around him and the surrounding communities. Our conduct is very important because it has an impression, it has an impact on others. The way you carry yourself carries throughout the surrounding communities around you. So as we interact on a daily basis, it's important that we are aware of how we interact with others and the impression we leave. When someone walks away from you, how did your conduct leave them? Were you showing them love? Were you showing them that you care? Were you showing them that respect? How did your impression leave them? Was it negative? Or was it positive? The next thing that I would like to look at is love. How can we show the surrounding community's love in order to illustrate the love that Christ has for us? So we're going to continue on this morning, and I would like to look at John 13. So please open with me, if you can, to John chapter 13. And we're going to be taking a look at verses 34 through 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. And in John, he writes, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So here, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to them of how they should interact with each other. This is a good example for how we are to interact with each other within the church, and how we should interact with the communities around us. And so in this verse, Jesus makes a statement that we are to love one another just as he has loved us. So through his own example of loving us, we are to set an example to others through love. And I think that's a very strong statement made here that should impact us on a daily basis. Something that we should be thinking about through everything that we do. As we interact with our own families within our household, whether it's our spouse, our children, our parents, if we are still at home. As we go to work and interact with our coworkers, as people are making choices around us that may make us frustrated, unhappy, we have to, through all these situations, choose love no matter who we are dealing with. And I think that's very important to remember as we move throughout just our daily lives. So this is something, as I go to work, I have children that come into my classroom. I have children that have expectations of me, whether they know it or not. They have things that they expect me to do. And they're not always going to act with respect, integrity, safety, and effort. And I have to intervene. And sometimes their actions are really frustrating. Just working with children. And in that, I have two choices. I can show them my frustration. I can let them know that I'm angry. Or in everything that I do to interact with them, I can be an example of love. Okay, so you hit someone. I don't like that. That's frustrating. But I'm going to show you the love that I would like to see you show someone else. Because if I'm not that example, then they're not going to get it. As much as we would like to think as adults, children don't really listen to our words. Children more look for our actions and the example that we set towards them. And that's important. So as we move into the community, we need to be thinking about how our actions are showing love towards others. So, as we move day to day, we need to remember this. Something that I remember is I want to approach all of my interactions with these others with love as the foundation to my decisions. Not saying I'm perfect in that, but I'm saying that that's something that I purposefully like to think about and am working on each and every day. The last thing that I would like to look at is faith. That key word, faith. So we're going to take a look at another passage. And we are going to be in Romans. If you will turn to Romans chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. If you'll read with me, Romans chapter 1, 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And here's where we're going to focus in on. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. For faith, as it is written, the righteousness shall live by faith. So, what we see here, that righteousness of God is revealed through our everyday actions and the example we're setting forth towards others. What we need to understand here is that our faithful actions will have an impact on those around us. And what I would like to think about specifically is the impact we have on our family. As a father, I need to think about how my actions are having an impact on my family. So how is my faith seen by my wife? And how is my faith seen by my children? Okay, some of these are coming to church. Church is an important place where we continue to learn about God, we continue to grow, and we make him the center of our life. If that is an expectation that we do every day, we're setting that standard that this is where we're at, and learning about God because he is important. That faith is then set as an example That's why I'm here today. My parents, from a very early age, set this as an importance of what we do. I am here because of the example set by my mom and my dad. I need to continue that with my children. And it's important that we center around that focus and we think about those decisions we make. What are we doing on a daily basis in our household? Are our children seeing us reflect on the Word of God? Sometimes that's difficult. But we have to consider what we're setting towards others. What is prayer life like? How do we interact with God, with our children, our spouse, those around us? If we don't have those as a center of foundation for ourselves, that's never going to be set as an example for those around us. And so those things have to be very purposeful. How are we reading the Bible? Going to church? Praying? Another one is, how are we helping others? In order to show God's love, God's righteousness, how are we supporting and helping the community around us? Is it through a job you've chosen to do? Is it through making a purpose on a weekend to go help those that are in need? Is it just little interactions with others around you that maybe people don't expect? How are you setting an example for your family as you move forward in and out of your day? And so these are actions and things that we need to consider. As we conclude this morning, just as my students have guidelines to direct their behavior towards others, just as they have those foundations, how are they showing respect towards others? Are they doing nice things, holding doors, helping friends in need? How are they having integrity? You want a difficult task? Try explaining integrity to a six-year-old. It's incredibly difficult. However, I've shortened integrity just to this, and kids seem to get it. Are you doing the right thing when no one's looking? Baseline. How are our actions happening when no one's looking? What is the example that we are setting towards others? Just as my kids have that foundation of RISE, God has set forth a foundation for us and has expectations of our behavior as we interact with this world. So, God has called us to interact with others in a way that reflects his love towards us. So just as Christ loved us, we need to go into this world and we need to love others. Because sometimes that's the only Christ people are going to see. And that's very important to remember. So, if you could please bow your head and close your eyes with me, we're going to close in prayer. Dear Lord, just thank you for bringing us together, and thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and thank you for just the words you have laid on my heart. Please be with us this morning as we move forward, and just be with Nathan and what he has prepared. In your son's name I pray, amen.
If we can have the ushers come forward right now, we will receive this morning's offering. And thank you, Brother Derek, for the example that you reminded. Brother Derek. It fits with the beard, too. But that's so true. Our faith is so practical, and it makes an impact on others. And so thank you for sharing all those things with us. All right, let's pray for our offering now. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this reminder that you've given to us, that you first had Paul give to Timothy. But today we were able to look at it with a fresh set of eyes, that even today, here in 2019, it's so important how we live, because our faith, our conduct, and our love, it truly makes a difference in the world around us. So help us to make sure that we are doing that and we are setting the example for others. We pray that for us as individuals and also for us as a church. And so we pray that you'll bless this offering right now so that our ministry can continue to set an example to the world around us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
And now I'm here. Good morning. My name is Nathan Kincaid, if you don't know me already. Little bit about my family. I married my wife almost 15 years ago, this August 7th, celebrating 15 years. We have five boys, five rambunctious boys. Around here, I'm the resident tech guy, musician, drummer, piano player, board member. I've been a board member for around 12 years, I think. And unlike Derek, I am not a teacher. I am not used to speaking in front of a lot of people. So I am a web developer and a tech blogger. So this is not an everyday occurrence. So bear with me. So my wife is really into this TV show called Live PD. How many have seen Live PD? It's kind of like Cops, the old cop show, but instead of just showing you the highlights, they actually have like eight counties that they follow a couple officers in each one, and they film it and you see it live. You get to see like what's happening right now on Friday and Saturday night. But what's interesting is they do a lot of traffic stops. For lots of different reasons. It's not always they're chasing someone with a warrant or something like that, a known criminal on the loose. It's not like that. I mean, those things happen occasionally. But people are pulled over for all kinds of different reasons. Tail light out, didn't use a turn signal, improper lane change, window tint is too dark. All kinds of different reasons, and many times people are like, they're not expecting this. So I kind of view those random traffic stops as sort of like a cross-section of America, when you think about it. You get to see, what's America really like? Because we live in this bubble here, at least when we're in this church, it's like a bubble. But it is crazy how many times they pull someone over for random traffic stop, and they find stuff, right? They find stuff. They find alcohol, they find drugs, they find who knows what, all kinds of things. It seems like 8 or 9 times out of 10, and this is just my perception, they find something, and this person's getting hauled off to jail. And sometimes you get a person that just so down on their luck, I mean, everything, they have a sob story. They just got out of jail a few months ago, and, they've been struggling to find a job, struggling for this, struggling for that, and yet but they're still doing the same things that they were doing to get in there in the first place. But you find this person that has hit rock bottom, and you see it right there in front of you. And I think, how did they get to this place? What happened? Did they just wake up one day and say, I think I'm gonna be an alcoholic? Maybe I'm gonna wake up today and maybe I'll be a drug addict. Yeah, that's what it. No. These things don't happen overnight. It takes time. And I focus on these people and look at them and contrast them against our bubble. My family, my friends, my church. And it's like, there's this wide chasm. How are so many people way over here, and yet so many other people that we know are way over here? And it seems like over time, there's this concept of momentum. Over time, momentum can bring a person to the highest highs or the lowest lows. Momentum is defined as the impetus and driving force gained by development of a process or course of events. In general, it it defines a phenomenon where if you're winning, you feel like you just can't stop winning. You just keep winning. And if you're losing, you feel like you just can't stop losing. See, you're either moving forward or backward at all times. Biblical commentator William Barclay said, life is always a process of gaining more or losing more. For weakness, like strength, is an increasing thing. This increasing, forward or backward, is not so much a linear, but I think it's more exponential. So my observations in general life, and seeing these things, it seems like each success that we have leads to more opportunities for more success. That's forward momentum. You keep moving forward. And on the other hand, each failure results in threats for more failures. And you find yourself in backwards momentum. I want you to think about these momentum principles in all areas of your life. I came up with four. First, momentum in your career. Too many people in this world lack any ambition. In their short-sightedness and apathy, they literally waste their lives away. You see some of these people on Live PD. And laziness breeds more laziness until you either break the habit or continue down that spiral. Personally, I would not have the job that I currently have if it weren't for me learning, taking the initiative to learn new things and to put in some hard work at my previous jobs. I bet you could say the same thing about yourself. Where you are now, you could probably connect some dots at how you got here and the things that you did that brought new opportunities that you did that brought more opportunities. At each stage along the way, till my initiative and hard work produced successes, which opened the doors to new opportunities that I would not have had otherwise. In Colossians 3:22-24, I have it up on the screen here for you. It says, bondservants, a.k.a. employees, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, a.k.a. bosses, right? But not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. The second area that I have is in your finances. My small group just finished going through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University and going through that video series. Really great. Dave teaches about momentum in finances a lot. And you find, Dave hates financing cars, right? He hates it. It's a bad idea, you know. Getting a new car loan is a big move backward. And it will take a while to pay that off just to get back to square one. Or if you're like most people, you just pile on more and more until you're up to your eyeballs in debt. But on the other hand, forward momentum, paying off a debt in your debt snowball, as Dave Ramsey teaches, you know, you gain more momentum every time you pay off one. You add that to your snowball, and now you can pay off the next one even faster. And then imagine if the financial momentum you would have after you pay off your mortgage. Not a payment in the world. I just love thinking about that. The third area is in your relationships. Relationships with your spouse, parents, children, friends. They take a lot of work. Neglect and negativity over time will escalate to hostility, leaving relationships in ruin. I know healthy relationships is one of our church's core values for a reason. But instead of neglect and negativity, we need to be intentional about building our relationships with support and encouragement. Over time, your shared experiences with each other will help your relationship soar to new heights. The fourth area is in your spiritual life. Much like in your other relationships, your relationship with God also takes work. Your salvation is, of course, by faith alone. But your Christian walk takes practice. Are you reading the Bible outside of church? Are you praying regularly? Are you considering God's will in your daily decisions, actions, and attitudes? Jesus talks about spiritual momentum in his parables. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 13. In the parable of the sower, people are like seeds sowed across various types of ground. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. It reads, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, but since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Notice the varying magnitudes of momentum. 100-fold, 60, 30. Let's continue. "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" Does that sound familiar? Sounds like forward and backward momentum. Jesus continues with a spree of parables here in Matthew. The topic comes up again, but in a different parable, the parable of the talents. Pastor Josh just read this twice in the last month, so I won't go through the whole thing again. But remember what the master said to the one who was given the 5 talents and doubled them? His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also said the same thing to the one with the 2 talents, who doubled his. Now, what did the master say to the one who buried his single talent? He called him wicked and slothful and said to cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. But in the middle of that tirade, the master said in Matthew 25, 28, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." I find it very interesting that Jesus repeats almost the exact same verse that he did 12 chapters earlier in a whole different parable. These parables, to me, they paint such a great picture of the spiritual momentum and how it works. We just need to be faithful over the little that God has given us. If we are faithful, He will set us over much. So what? How should this concept affect our daily lives? One word. Focus! I say that a lot to my boys. First, we need to focus on long-term vision and forward thinking. Avoid being short-sighted. It is too easy to slip into this. So many people do. They look at the here and now, and they just block out what's to come. If you need to make a temporary sacrifice now to achieve greatness later, do it. It's worth it. Number two, focus on your goals. Paul describes his spiritual momentum towards a goal in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So whether it be goals in your career, finances, relationships, or in your spiritual life, focus on your goals. Number three, focus on your decision making. Every decision you make moves you forward or backward in different aspects of your life. It all comes down to your decision making. Right. If you are focused on your goals, then you should make sure that all your decisions are moving you towards those goals. In Titus 3:8, it says, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." So in your decision making, make sure you devote yourselves to good works. Number four, focus on faithfulness to God. This is the big one. In the parable of the talents, the ones who were faithful with much were the ones who recognized the opportunity to grow the resources that were entrusted to them by the master. Pastor just preached on that a couple weeks ago, but they saw the opportunity. They saw it as an opportunity, and it wasn't theirs, it was the master's. God has entrusted us with many resources. God has given us the Bible that we should grow in wisdom. He's given us prayer that we should grow in our relationship with Him. God has given us people in our lives that we should spread the gospel. And God has given us income that we should grow in giving. Because again, it's not His. So studying Scripture, praying to God, sharing our faith, and giving cheerfully makes us look at life differently. And it gives us the momentum, the wisdom to have forward momentum in all areas of our life. In Proverbs 9:9, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." In closing, I want to share a quote by John Maxwell. He puts it nicely. "When you have no momentum, even the simplest tasks can seem insurmountable problems. But when you have momentum on your side, the future looks bright, obstacles appear small, and trouble seems temporary." So I encourage you, I encourage you all to keep this concept of momentum in mind and to use it and to keep moving forward in all areas of your life by staying focused on your future, on your goals, on your decision making, and most importantly, on your faithfulness to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your grace, and for all the blessings that you've given us, and all the things in this life that you've entrusted to us. I pray that we all can look at those things, not as ours, but as yours, as your resources, that we should be good stewards of them, and that we should do whatever needs to be done to grow those, all for your honor and your glory. And we also pray for the chili we're about to eat after this. We pray its blessing on our bodies and your blessing also upon the fellowship that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.